Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Today I would like to share with you one of the most important basic foundation of the Christian walk, and that issue is repentance. Actually, the word repentance was so foreign to me before I became a Christian. Because before I became a Christian, I was a Buddhist. And I always think that I would do good to earn my way to heaven. I would just try to strive myself using my own ability to become a good man, a good person. So the concept of repentance is very foreign to most religions and most religious belief, but it's so unique and it's so foundational and so basic to Christian faith. If you don't grab a hold of this idea from the first day you become a believer, your Christian life will never work. You will struggle and struggle and struggle, and your Christian life will be like a person who come to America and don't understand English. And you will struggle living in America without understand ABC. You will never understand anyone. You will never be able to read the sign on the road. So it's important to understand the subject of repentance, the doctrine of repentance, and not only understand, but you need to live or establish a lifestyle of repentance. Repentance begins from the first day you accepted Jesus to the last day when you go to heaven. Mm-hmm. As long as you live, repentance must be your lifestyle. What does it mean, repentance? Repentance in the Greek language, it's called metanoia. Metanoia means to have another mind, to think another way, or to change a course of life after a new insight. In the Hebrew language, it is the word chup, which means to make a U-turn, 180 degree. So repentance means what? Mean that when God gives you a new insight of your life, and you agree with Him that whatever you have done or said or have had a lifestyle in the past that is not agreeing with God, you agree with Him now, and you say, okay, amen, I agree. I change my mind, and I turn 180 degree to another way that God wants me to walk or to go. That is repentance. Everyone say 180 degrees. 180. Turn, U-turn. We make a U-turn. Amen. So the word repentance simply means turn away from our sins and toward God. We turn from our wicked ways, from our old ways of life, turn around 180 degrees and turn toward God's way. That's why the word repentance is so unique in Christianity. And to be a real born-again Christian, you need to repent. You need to repent of your sin every single day. Actually, I repent every Sunday when I hear the sermon. I repent every time I read the Bible. I repent every time when I heard a sermon in the car, in the CD. When God spoke to me, I say, yes, God, I am wrong and I want to turn around. Repentance is like an ultimate paradigm shift. Shifting your life out of darkness into the light. Repentance is a paradigm shift out of guilt into forgiveness. Out of hope, out of no hope into hope. Out of death into life. Out of hell into heaven. You will be amazed on that day that many people who call themselves Christian in the church, become a member of the church, you don't see them in heaven. Why? Because Sometimes they are not educated about repentance, and they just born, grew up in the local church. You know, I know the Bible, I know Jesus, but they never repent. All the days of their life, they just live a life like, just like the world. They never repent of that sin. They never have a personal relationship with Jesus. So that is quite scary. You know, you go to church for 30 years, 50 years, you thought you go to heaven, but after you die, wow, I cannot get into the door of heaven. When you stand in front of the door of heaven, the angels say, I don't know you. Your name is not in the book of life. And you ask, why? Because all the days of your life, you never repent. You just know Jesus in your head, but you never know Jesus in your heart. So that's why this should be the first lesson that every new believer need to understand and know. And I don't want any member of our church to miss heaven. Amen. It will be so sad. It will be so sad to me that somebody in our church don't make it to heaven even though they claim to be a Christian. When Peter preached the first message in the book of Acts, you remember Peter preached about Jesus, the Messiah, that the Jews put him on the cross to kill him. And then when the Jews heard that, they were so sorry. The word of God cut into their heart, the sermon. And they say, what should we do to be saved? Look at what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. Can you turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 39? Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 39. Acts chapter 2, 37 and 39. If you can help me read, I hope sure. For you.
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call.
Hmm. I think there is a word. Peter replied, repent.
Oh yeah, and Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. So what Peter say to these Jewish people, the key to receive forgiveness of sin and to get right with God again is repentance. How many people know the primary reason Jesus came into the world to die for our sin? What is the primary reason that Jesus had to suffer? Lately, God really showed me in my spirit the agony when Jesus was kneeling down and fell on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, take this cup away from me. But it's not my will, but your will. You know, if you don't understand what he said clearly, you will never grab a hold of the word repentance. Think about this. If you are in his shoes that day, and you know that in a few hours, you're going to be nailed onto the cross, and you will have to go through all the suffering, rejection, spitted on, flogged, slapped, anything bad, people bad deals. And you have a choice to run away. Would you run away? I think a lot of people would run away. Is that right? I mean, no one in the world want to go through that bad suffering, that agony. But Jesus said, I can feel, I can identify with Jesus' feeling that day that, wow, God, this is not fun. This is bad. I have to go to the cross. I can feel from the heart of Jesus that he really loves us so much that he is willing to die. Why Jesus has to die? Think about it. Why he had to give his life up on the cross. Only one reason. That reason is that mankind is being destroyed by sin. And he has to die to forgive and to set you free from sin. If we have choices, I think between dying on the cross, paying $1,000, or jump up and down and stand on your head on the ground and clap your feet in the air to save people from sin, I think you rather pay $1,000 or stand on your head on the ground and clap your head in the air. You don't want to go to the cross, to die on the cross like that. So you, what I try to paint the picture to you is that sin is very destructive. Sin really leads us to destruction. It's a bad deal. The more you know God, and do you know you, the more you understand the consequences of sin, the more you're gonna try to repent as soon as possible and get yourself away from sinful lifestyle. Sin is compared to like cancer cell, compared to bacteria, is compared to destructive disease that come in and eat you up, you know. And that's why to get into the new life is to repent and turn away from your sin as soon as possible. Amen.
Amen.
I come to the point of my life now that I don't want to play with sin anymore. I know that it's very, very destructive. How, let me ask this question. How many people in this room love yourself? Do you love yourself?
Yeah.
How many people love your kids?
Yes.
Okay. Do you love, yourself? You love your kids? You love your family? Is that right?
Yes.
You think, so if you love yourself, are you gonna put the fire in your finger and burn your finger for fun?
No.
No. You are not gonna put your finger in the fire, in the a stove, and then burn your finger, because you know that fire kill you, burn you. So the same thing. You need to see sin as bad stuff that will burn you up, will kill you. And not only you, your kids too. Because the Bible says sin will pass into the iniquity of the consequences of sin will pass to the third and fourth generation. And that's why I'm so careful of my life, because I don't want the consequences of sin to go into my kids. And actually the insurance company know very well. How many of you have applied for life insurance and disability insurance? You know, when you apply for life insurance, the insurance company will have a form and ask you, do you have diabetes? Do you have arthritis? Do you have lung disease? Do you have cancer? They want to know, you know why? Because they know that they ask you, your parents have all this thing or not?
Yeah.
Because they know that genetically, medically, in the medical field, we know that there is some passing from one generation to generation, genetically passing from one generation to generation, the sickness and disease. And sickness and disease are the consequences of sin. So that's why I want to stop here. I don't want any kind of consequences of sin or bad stuff, the curses, to pass into my next generation. That's why repentance is so important to yourself, to your kids, to your family, and to the nation, to your society, everything. Amen. Now, before we go on, again, I promise you that I will not go too long, because it's close to lunchtime. Oh, okay, so don't worry. Before we go into the real definition and practical point of sin, I want to mention about what repentance is not. There are a lot of misunderstanding about the word repentance. So I want to point out first what repentance is not. Number one, let's look at Matthew chapter 27 verses 3 to 5. Matthew chapter 27 verses 3 to 5. Matthew chapter 27 verses 3 to 5. Could you please read it for me?
When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" he replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hung himself.
Okay. So you can see here that Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 silver coins, and he became aware of his wrongdoing. He betrayed his own master. He betrayed the Lord, and he discovered, he became aware that he did wrong. So first of all, I want to say that repentance is not just merely aware, being aware of your wrongdoing. It's not enough. A lot of people knew that they did wrong. They cheated tax, or they lied, or they gossiped. They made cheat that friend, they borrow money but never return. Something, you know, we all make mistake, and we know in our heart that we do something wrong, but we never really repent. So be careful. Just recognizing that we are doing something wrong doesn't mean that we repent. It's not enough. Amen? So don't stop there. Judas realized that he did wrong, but he never truly turned away from sin. In fact, he has a condition called worldly sorrow. When you get caught, how many people, when you were young, your parents caught you of doing something wrong? Is that right? I did all the time, you know. Sometimes my dad caught me doing something wrong. So I had a worldly sorrow. I cried and I feel bad. But after my dad turned around, I did it again. Worldly sorrow doesn't produce repentance. Worldly sorrow just produce guilt. Just produce bad feeling and produce destruction. Is it clear? So be careful that you don't just stop at recognizing your own mistake, but you really turn away from your sin. Look at the second one. Repentance is not only trying to be a good person. Look at Romans. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 18 to 20. Romans, chapter 7, verses 18 to 20. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, nor the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. How many people feel that way sometimes? That you want to do good, but you cannot do it. And the good you want to do, I mean the evil you don't want to do, you keep doing it. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer that I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. So you can see here that if we just try to do good, it's not enough. We all have sinful nature. We all have weaknesses in our life. And just to try to do good is not true repentance. In fact, listen carefully, that trying to do good yourself is just only a form of religion. It's just a form of religion. And actually, so many people try to become good person. Have you tried that? How many people have tried to become a good person by changing the way you live, by giving money to the poor, But you know what happened is that in that way of life, what happened? You depend on your own strength. You depend on your own goodness. And that is a form of sin too. In fact, think about it. When you begin to depend on yourself, you are prideful. You become prideful. You say, I can do it. I will do it. I'm going to become good. And that is a form of sin because it's prideful. And pride is sin. I remember when I was young, I tried to be a good doctor. I tried to be a good husband. I tried to become a good citizen. I tried, but I always failed. You know why? Because what Paul say in the Bible here in the book of Romans, that I cannot do it because the sin in me still working inside. You cannot become good by yourself. What is the difference between Christianity and religion? Religion teaches us to try to be a good person by our own strength. But in Christianity, we, listen carefully, this is very important concept. We become righteous because the righteousness of God has been given to us by the exchange. We give sin to Jesus on the cross. Jesus received the sin on his body on the cross. And then he gave us the righteousness of God. I become American citizen. Not because I speak without accent. Not because I eat steak and mashed potato. I still eat rice every day. But I become American citizen because American government gave me the right to become an American citizen by position. You understand what I try to say? So, I become the righteousness of God because God gave me that right. Because I believe in Jesus by faith. And after I become the righteousness of God, God gave me the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of me. And the Holy Spirit work powerfully by His power in my life to do good. Listen carefully. I cannot do good by myself, but the Holy Spirit is the hand on the inside of my body. I am a glove and the hand is moving on the inside. So God is giving me a new nature, a new life, that the Holy Spirit begin to work on the inside of me to hate sin and to begin to work, have the outworking of righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit. But religion teach me that I try to become good by myself. I do, I make it up, I have to do this, I have to do that. You see what I mean? You try to be righteous by doing good, which is not biblical. I hope I'm not too confusing to all of you. Is it clear?
Yes.
Okay? Big difference between Christianity and religion. Christianity start by faith. Then Jesus give you the gift of righteousness. You become righteous by position, no matter how you look outside. And after you receive Jesus by faith, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is like a hand in the glove and begin to move. I give you example. When I was young, I loved to see kung fu movie. Every time I see somebody pull the knife out, cut somebody's hand off, oh, I rejoice. I love to see bad movie. I tell you, in 1980, after Jesus came into my life, the Holy Spirit came in me. And when I began to, the Holy Spirit live in me, I began to watch those movies, I feel yucky. I feel ugly. Like, ooh, cut the hand off. Ooh. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit changed my heart inside. It happened on the inside of me. Before I became a Christian, oh, it's normal, it's fun to cheat my girlfriend, is to go run around with another girl. It's good. That is my nature, human nature as a man. I mean, all the men in the world are like that, you know, just have fun. Is that right? But when the Holy Spirit came and lived on the inside of you, you don't need to even force yourself to not to cheat your wife. But it's feel like, yucky, it's ugly to cheat your wife. I cannot do this. Like you put your hand into the garbage can. God changed you on the inside. You don't try to be good. You become godly because the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. Amen. Woo. What a difference. What a big difference between religion and Christianity. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. Do you find it yet? Isaiah 64 verse 6. Very important scripture. Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean. Do you agree that we have unclean heart, unclean life? We sin against God. And all our righteous acts, in other words, the good things that you try to do on your own strength, are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. I mentioned at the beginning that sin will sweep you away. Sin will destroy you. And God say in the Bible that our righteous acts are like filthy rags in the eyes of God. Amen. Therefore, I want to encourage you that you cannot become righteous and holy by depending on your own ability. And if you want to try to do that, is another form of sin. We call self-righteousness in English. Self-righteousness means, I can do it. I'm good. I'm great. I can become good by my own strength. And that is dangerous. It's a form of pride. It's a form of arrogance, which is opposite to God. God wants us to be humble. Amen? How many people agree with me that no one in this room cannot become perfect and become good by your own strength? Yes. We all struggle every single day. Amen? Okay. Number three, repentance is not being religious. Everyone say, repentance is not being religious. Look at Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 to 5. Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 to 5. Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 to 5. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by men. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Jesus was talking about the religious leader in his time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, we call the scribes, S-C-R-I-B-E-S, the scribes. At that time, these people were religious. They would stand in the marketplace and lift their hand up in front of people and pray, Father in heaven, look at me. I fast 3 times a week. I give 10% to the church, to the temple. I'm better than that tax collector. Look at me, how holy I am. They give money to the needy and they blow the trumpet in the secret, in the marketplace and say, look at me, I am so holy and religious. And Jesus warned all of us, don't be like them. Let me give you the definition of the word religion a little bit here. And you understand when we talk about being religious. Religion means man make his own legalistic way to reach to God. Man makes his own religious, legalistic way to go to God. I give you example. This is religious. If you don't wear make, if you wear makeup, you are not a good Christian. If you don't make hair, good hairstyle, and when you go to church, you are not a good Christian. If you don't go worship God at certain time, on certain day of the week, you are not a Christian. All the law. Put people in the bondage of legalism. Religion will bound people with chain of bondage, of laws. I don't want that in this church. People can come to church as long as they are not naked. I'm happy. And they don't come without, if they come without clothes, it's illegal. So I don't want that to happen in our church. But as they can dress anything they want, because it does, I mean, you become a Christian or not doesn't mean, it doesn't depend on how you dress, how, what kind of chisedo or what else, Estee or Lancome or something. It doesn't matter, those things. How, what hair you style, hairstyle you make, I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's between you and God. But those things are not gonna dictate that you are born again or not. It's not about religious law. And you notice one thing? Religion always comes with pride. Pride and religion come together. You know why? Because in religion you say, I do this, I do this, I do that, I don't do this, I don't do that. Look at me, I'm so good, I'm so holy, I can fulfill all this legalistic law in the church. Look at me, I'm an elder, I can do all these things. Wow, clap your hand to me. Pride and religion comes together. But repentance comes with humility. With loving, with giving. Amen?
Amen?
So, as long as I live in this church, you will never see legalism in this church. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because religion will bow people, buy people, chain people. One day God talked to me like this. Don't set the captive free out of the chain of sin and put them back into the chain of religion again. Amen. Be careful. Amen. Number four. Number one, religion is not just recognizing or accepting that you have done wrong. Two, repentance is not just try to be a good person yourself. Three, repentance is not being religious or legalistic. Number four, repentance is not just about knowing the truth in the Bible. This is dangerous. Especially in the Greek philosophy world, like in the Western world. The difference between the Hebrew world and the Greek world is this. The Greek world always want to have a lot of knowledge. But to do it or not is another issue. But the Hebrew world, they want to take action of what they learn. And I thank God that we are international in this church. You know, I'm so glad that we are so international that we can learn the good things and learn and not try to follow one another weaknesses. I learned that when I come to America, I learned so much from Western people here. People who grew up in the Western world, so good. Many good things. I give you example that I learned from American people. Number one, American people are excellent people. Do everything excellent. Perfect. Two, American people are very organized. Asian people, not very organized. That's we are our struggle in our church. We are not that organized. And American people are very serious about what they're doing. And when they commit, they're really committed. They don't change their word easily. They, when they do, but at the same time, American people has one, I mean, I'm talking about Westerner, Western country, has one weakness in their life is that, one weakness in the culture here is that they tend to go with the head knowledge, but they don't want to put into practice. Number two, they lack community lifestyle. People tend to be individualistic. They don't want to hang out together. They just live their own life, my own family, your own family. They don't want to relate to each other that much. But in the Hebrew, Asian is Hebrew. Hebrew way is this. We love to hang out. We love to get together. And we want to do what we learn. Okay, we learn this. Tomorrow we're going to do it. But we lack organization. We lack excellency in our thing. We tend to be kind of just take it easy. Because we love we care about relationship more than organization. But you know, it's good. We come together and we learn from one another. This is nothing wrong. You know, I believe that every culture has weakness. But we can learn the strength from one another. That's why it's so beautiful to be in the international church. I learned so much from Japanese. Japanese has strength in the area of very kind and very, very courteous. Like this. Arigato gozaimasu. Very kind. You know, they tend to respect one another. I learn from them a lot. You see what I mean? So, be careful. Don't just have only head knowledge. Amen. James chapter 2 verses 19 to 20 say. James is in the back of the book. Chapter 2 verses 19 to 20. The Bible says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do not want evidence that faith without deeds is useless. James tried to say that. The devil know all the Bible. I tell you right now, the devil can quote the Bible like you. He know all the scripture. But the difference between the devil and Christian is that the devil never repents. Never take action of what then he knows. Demons never follow the Bible. Actually, they try to do everything opposite the Bible. The Christians have faith with deeds. We learn and we take action. Amen? Amen. Many years ago, I have learned from the Bible that I was not sensitive to my wife enough. I ignore her. I was not sensitive to her. I repented and I began to take action. Amen. Amen. So this morning before I left home, I kissed her and I say, I love you. You're beautiful. I try to be sensitive to her. I repented many years ago. Amen. So you need to take action of what you learn in the Bible. Amen. The Bible says, husband, love your wife. You cannot just use her as your servant and cook for you and do this and that for you and you never show love to her. Amen. So take action. You need to change. You need to learn biblical truth. This is my way of Christian life. I always listen to CD. When the preacher in the CD says something and it really hit my heart, I stop the CD and say, God, I repent. I'm going to take action of that word. From today on, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start to do it now so that it will become my new habit. Amen? Amen. So that should be our lifestyle. All the time repent and take action of what we learn. Faith without deeds is useless. Four things we learned today. I will stop here and we continue next time about repentance. Number one, repentance is not just knowing that we are wrong. To repentance is not just trying to be a good person. Repentance is not just being religious, prideful, showing off legalistically. For repentance is not just only having head knowledge, but take action of what you learn. Amen. Amen. This is the foundation of the Christian walk. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for teaching us through your word. May your Holy Spirit help all of us in the church. And those who listen to this CD, Father, that the Holy Spirit will move in their heart to hate sin and love holiness and righteousness. And they will take action of what they learn from the Bible, Father. Lord, I pray that every member of the church will show up in heaven that day because they have a lifestyle of repentance. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.